Welcome to the Deep Dive. You know, if Cyberpunk 2077 pulled off the single greatest comeback in gaming history, then its sequel, Project Orion, is facing something, well, something even more daunting.
Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of pressure.
Exactly. It doesn't just need to be good. It needs perfection. The weight of expectation is just astronomical, which is why we've spent the last week digging through every leak, every analyst report, every developer interview we could get our hands on.
That's right. We've compiled all the signals coming out of the new CD Projekt Red Boston studio. We've cross-referenced those with predictions from Polish financial analysts who follow the company very closely, and then synthesized statements from the game director, Gabriel Amatangelo, and even the creator himself, Mike Pondsmith.
So our mission for you, the listener, is pretty simple. We're distilling all of that scattered intel into the 7 seismic shifts planned for the franchise. And this goes way beyond just a map expansion.
Oh, way beyond. The vision for Orion seems to be a total transformation into a truly physically grounded, tactile world that expands the scope from one city to this nationwide industrialized hellscape.
And to even begin to understand that, you have to start with the foundation, the engine room.
Yes. Let's jump right in, because the single biggest change, the one that really underpins everything else we're going to talk about, is the total retirement of the old system.
Okay, so let's talk about the death of Reed Engine. Look, it gave us Night City's verticality, those incredible visuals, but it was also the source of just infamous launch day nightmares.
It was. So the sources are all confirming it. For Project Orion, they were making a total transition to Unreal Engine 5.
Which is a huge pivot for them.
It's a radical pivot. And it's so much more than just a software swap. It's a complete paradigm shift, and it seems specifically designed to eliminate the instability that plagued the first game. What's fascinating is how they're leveraging the 3 core pillars of UE5 to get that physically grounded feel Amatangelo mentioned.
Okay, so pillar number 1 is nanite geometry. For you listening, this is basically the end of texture pop-in. Remember speeding down a street in 2077 and seeing things load in?
Mm-hmm.
Nanite means that's gone. It renders film quality detail, every piece of trash, every tiny bolt on a cyber arm instantly, in real time. It's not just a graphical upgrade. It removes those little things that break immersion.
And speaking of immersion, the second pillar is lumen. Lumen global illumination. This is all about the atmosphere.
So in 2077, a lot of the lighting was sort of baked in, right? It was static.
Exactly. Lumen makes it all dynamic. So if a massive AV flies overhead, its shadow moves realistically across the ground. The glow from a neon sign will actually react properly with rain-slicked streets. And for Cyberpunk, the atmosphere is the game.
But hold on, isn't there a risk here? I mean, Red Engine was bespoke. It was tailored for CDPR's huge open-world RPGs. By moving to Unreal, are they trading that unique optimization for general stability?
That's a fair question, and I think the answer is in the third pillar, chaos physics. The sources are really suggesting this is where they're putting their unique stamp.
So not just better ragdolls.
Not at all. We're talking about unprecedented environmental destruction, cover that doesn't just absorb bullets but crumbles into pieces, walls that shatter.
So vehicle combat, which, let's be honest, felt a bit floaty in 2077.
Right.
It'll now have real tangible weight. If I slam a car into a barricade, it's going to obliterate it realistically.
That's the goal. Visceral, heavy, grounded combat. It's a world you can visibly destroy, not just a pretty backdrop. So you combine nanite rendering all the detail, lumen lighting it, and chaos letting you smash it all to pieces. That's the blueprint.
Okay, that technical roadmap makes sense. It shows they can build the world. But the big question is, where are we going?
The scope is getting so much bigger. The biggest leak, the one that's been fanned by Mike Pondsmith himself, points to a second major playable location, Neo Chicago.
And this is not the Chicago we know. For anyone who doesn't know the tabletop lore, this city was just devastated. Ecological collapse, corporate wars.
Pondsmith's description was chilling. He just called it Chicago gone wrong. It's a grim, icy, industrial wasteland.
So you have this duality. Night City is the glitzy, neon-drenched symbol of excess, style over substance.
Right. And Neo Chicago is its opposite. Brutalist, icy, austere. It's a city built for survival where the only fashion statement is, you know, heavy functional gear that keeps you alive.
I think that's a brilliant move. It was a fair critique that 2077 felt a bit contained. This opens things up to a nationwide dystopia. You can start as a street kid in Night City and have to smuggle cargo through the Badlands just to get to the frozen ports of Chicago. That's real scope.
And that aesthetic shift ties right into the third major focus for the Boston studio, creating what they're calling a living world. It's all rooted in this idea of authentic Americana.
I found this detail fascinating. The producer admitted that because the first game was made in Poland, they sometimes missed subtle American cultural nuances.
Like what?
Like the exact placement of streetlights or manhole covers, or the specific texture of urban decay you'd find in a U.S. city. Orion is meant to capture that gritty, tangible entropy perfectly.
They want the grime to tell a story. But a city is nothing without its people, and that leads to the supercrowd system. The goal is, and this is a quote, the most realistic and reactive crowd system in any game to date.
So we're not talking about NPCs walking in circles anymore.
Not at all. The sources are talking about NPCs with daily routines, faction allegiances, and get this, memories of your actions.
Okay, that's terrifying. And it completely changes how you'd interact with the world.
It does. The example they gave was, say you pull a gun in a crowded market. The crowd doesn't just crouch. Some might stampede, causing collateral damage. Others, if they're part of a gang, might actually fight back.
Or call the NCPD and give away your location.
Exactly. And the police system, which they just overhauled in Update 2.0, is reportedly being built from scratch again for Orion.
So the 2.0 patch was a good fix, but this is a true simulation.
A living ecosystem, where the police are part of that super crowd, allowing for these complex, multi-level chases through mega buildings that feel systemic, not scripted.
Okay, so we have the technical guts, we have the world. We need to talk about the heart of the story. Who's our guide through this new hellscape?
And that brings us to the big narrative reveal, the one that has everyone buzzing. The introduction of a legend only whispered about in the first game, Morgan Blackhand.
If Johnny Silverhand was the soul of the first game, the cynical rock star Ghost Blackhand is something else entirely. He's the pragmatic professional muscle of the sequel.
In the lore, he's known as the Solo's Solo. He's a disciplined military op, Adam Smasher's professional rival. And crucially, he's not a sadist. He refuses to kill unless it's absolutely necessary. He's the peak of professionalism in a world of chaos.
And he was completely absent in 2077, just mentioned as missing.
Right. The theory is that he'll emerge from the shadows, likely operating out of the grittier environment of Neo-Chicago. And here's the key difference from Johnny. Blackhand is rumored to be physically alive, not an engram in your head.
So you can interact with him directly? A mentor, maybe a rival?
Could be anything. A primary quest giver, the mentor figure, and the A-list casting rumors, names like Carl Urban, Josh Brolin, suggest he's going to be central. Mike Pondsmith himself just teased, Blackhand is coming.
Okay, so if Blackhand is the new anchor, that brings up the elephant in the room. What about V? Do we play as V again?
The short answer, based on everything we're hearing, is almost certainly not.
And that's just a narrative necessity.
It has to be. CDPR hates canonizing one specific ending. V's story had so many different conclusions. To continue it would mean telling everyone else their choice was wrong.
So V doesn't die. Okay. V becomes a legend, a ghost story.
Exactly. V's impact is the foundation for the new story. Maybe you walk into the afterlife and hear fixers whispering about the merc who took on Arasaka Tower alone.
Or you find V's iconic jacket hidden somewhere.
Right. Or you meet Panem or Judy, and they reference this ghost from their past. V is now history, and that history shapes the world for the new protagonist.
That transition clears the board perfectly for the sixth major shift. And this is a big one. The feature that was promised, then canceled, and is now definitively back.
Multiplayer. It's absolutely back. Job listings for the Boston studio are explicit. Network engineers, matchmaking systems. It's being built as a core part of the game.
And the sources are clear on what not to expect.
Yeah.
This isn't some battle royale mode they're tacking on.
No, the leaks all suggest a seamless, persistent online world, something like GTA Online, but with that deep RPG progression you expect from CDPR.
And think about how that connects to the other pillars.
Mm-hmm.
You need that chaos physics, that super crowd system, for a multiplayer world to feel alive.
Mm-hmm. They describe this forever game scenario. Imagine teaming up with three friends for a heist on a corporate convoy in the Badlands. One of you is the Netrunner, one is heavy weapons, another is stealth.
That synchronized teamwork. That's what the new engine is being built for.
Precisely.
Which brings us inevitably to the final point, the seventh shift. The hard pill to swallow for everyone listening.
The release timeline.
Yeah.
Look, this is a generational project. Orion only entered the concept phase in 2024. It just started pre-production in 2025. New engine, new scope, new team in Boston.
And the consensus among the Polish financial analysts, who are usually pretty accurate about CDPR, mm-hmm. is a release window of late 2030.
It's a long, long wait. But you have to see this as a direct result of them learning from their mistakes. They've been very clear. No fake gameplay, and it won't be released until it's ready.
The good news is the hype cycle starts now. We can probably expect a steady drip of lore, concept art, and maybe another animated spinoff.
The probability of an Edgerunners season 2 or something like it is very high. They need to keep the world warm while we wait.
It's an exercise in patience.
That's the calculation they're making.
So let's wrap this. The verdict. Project Orion needs to be a benchmark for the next decade of gaming. We've laid out the 7 ingredients. The UE5 shift, the Night City versus Neo Chicago duality, the living world, Morgan Blackhand's arrival, V becoming a legend, multiplayer, and the long wait.
All the elements point to a game that's darker, grittier, and more grounded. The move to Neo Chicago, this ecologically devastated industrial hub, suggests a deeper look at the consequences of corporate control, not just the neon flash.
It seems like the dark future looks incredibly bright. We just have to survive long enough to see it.
And until then, maybe mull over this. What does the necessity of a place like Neo Chicago tell us about this dystopia? Is it proof that even in an age of chrome and neon, the real inescapable future is just industrial decay and ecological ruin?
Keep your iron close and your ICE updated. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.